Good morning. Let's just stay there for a minute, okay? So I know what God wants to do this morning through you and in you. So let's just pray with me right now, okay? Father, we just worship you and we continue to worship you. God, it should never stop, Lord. God, your word calls for us to be holy living sacrifices to you, God. And we just sang a question, who else is worthy, God? There is no one like Jesus. So I pray at this time, Lord, I pray, God, that they will give your attention to you, God, because you're worthy of our time. Father, that you would hear what the Spirit has to say, God. Lord, I just ask you just to break the chains, the bondage that your people still live in, God. The things that we continue to hold on to, Lord God, I pray, God, that people will come to that place of surrender and see their identity and who they are and realize that they are powerful people in you, God, that they could do all things, more than conquerors. Your word is explicit, God, Lord, that we are supposed to live from the victorious spirit, God, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, for each person that their minds will be renewed today, Lord, to truth, God. You have been found trustworthy and faithful to us, God. In you, there is no shadow of turning. There is no variation. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever, God. You didn't wake up in a bad mood against us today, God. You came to us and you've been with us, God, and you stayed because you'll never leave us nor forsake us in the dark times, in the mountains, in the valleys, God, Lord. God, you cause us, Lord, to lay down, to rest, God, Lord. Father, you're such a good God, and we want to proclaim it today. And lift up your son's name, who is the victor, the champion of love, God, Lord, that you, Father, Lord, people would just see him in his beauty today and what he wants to accomplish in them. God, that you would work and will for your good pleasure in each heart today, God, Lord. Oh, we just praise your most holy name, God. Holy are you, God. Holy are you. And there's not a knee that won't bow to you one day and call you holy, God. So, Father, I just pray, use this time, Lord. Let your voice be heard. Set our hearts on fire, God, so the world can watch us burn, Lord. There's no one else like you. For some, it's a song to sing. For many, God, Lord, it's the life we live, God. We give you thanks, Lord. God, just remove me, God. Speak. Just speak to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I haven't got notes for this one today. I can tell you, I like to speak from the heart mainly. I don't like to be so, but that's me though. That's my conviction. I was using a lot of notes and I felt like I was very dependent upon them and less about the spirit. So God convicted my heart. And sometimes I use these, but my heart, as I've been praying for this, I know what God wants to do. And I'm not tired, but I'm just hurting this morning. Because everywhere I go, and you listen to people's hearts, because when I say you listen to their hearts, out of the abundance of your heart, you're going to speak, right? It's easy to stick around you long enough to know what you're about. You may not like that, but it's the truth. Because what consumes you comes out of you. And what you're consuming is going to consume you. Amen. And I hear all the time people saying things like, my anxiety... And if you want a title today, the title of the sermon is Fear Not. Eric took some of my scriptures, so I'm going to call him up to go over these. He did two of my scriptures. Those are the holy scriptures. They're not mine. But the ones that I prepared for today, may we expound upon them. Maybe you need a double dose. Probably so. People just ravaged with fear. Consumed with fear. You haven't been given a spirit of fear, though. You've been given a spirit of, say it. You know the word, guys. We say that, but we got to live it. Pastor that I used to be under talked about his mother would quote that scripture all the time, but she stayed afraid. Why? There's a disconnect. We got to live it. Go with me to Genesis. Let's start at the beginning. God in his creation creates everything, and he makes man, right? And in chapter 3, verse 6, post them eating of the apple, right? Eating of the fruit. What do they do? I'm in the New King James, by the way. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes and the tree desirable to make one wise. How could she get any wiser? She took the fruit and ate it. She also gave it to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and then they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And when they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife did what? They hid. Why? Because they are what? In the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden, then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was. So since then, we've dealt with fear. Since then, fear entered into the world. And when fear came in, it activated a survival mode inside of us. Do you understand how important that is? Because that drives you in a lot of your behaviors. And it just into them immediately. They hid. Why? They didn't know how God was going to respond to what they did. And many people today are still afraid of the unknown. And that's what drives us a lot of times. That's why you manipulate your situations. Because you want control. Because you can manage that. And here fear entered into the world. And now today, many years later, people still dealing with this destructive spirit. 500 name phobias today. 500 plus. Name phobias are there in the world today. Now you can put phobia on the end of anything and you can make a word out of it. You understand? And some people have done that of recent times. But there are so many fears that they're categorically listing now today. 60 to 70% of adults experience fears. 19 million Americans diagnosed with phobias or anxiety disorders. 42.5 Americans adults live with anxiety. And these are the ones that are just reported. This is not your everyday person that goes through life and struggles with and don't seek help. 31.9% of our children, our adolescents, are dealing with some type of anxiety disorder. And it's not a spirit that God gave us. I don't mean to bore you, but I just want to remind you of what it does and the unhealthy consequences that it happens. Fear and anxiety triggers the fight or flight response that keeps us in this heightened state of stress that will cause you to have cardiovascular problems, pounding heart, chest pain, long-term heart disease, digestive system, nausea, indigestion, acid reflux, stomach issues, our nervous and our muscular system, tension headaches, body aches, muscle tremors, dizziness, respiratory system, shortness of breath, hyperventilation, tightness in your throat or chest, and one of the big ones, your immune system goes down that makes you susceptible to many diseases and illnesses. And that's just your physiological response to fear. Yet we choose it all the time. I'm not saying there's not some benefit to fear, right? If we had a storm and there's a power line down and that thing's zapping, you have a healthy fear of that because you know if you grab it, what? That's your last event in life, probably, right? If you're walking through a highly tall grass field and you know it's an area full of copperheads, you understand what I'm saying? Some rattlesnakes, are you just going to go tromping through there? When I turkey hunt, I got boots up to my knees just in case one of those critters try to attach themselves. I got a healthy fear, but I'm not talking about that today. I'm talking about the fear that causes us to shut down and paralyze us, causes harm and hurt and pain in our life. Now, I know and I understand that some people deal with fear on occasion. Some people deal with it often, but there's some people that deal with it daily. And I know God wants to break that chain this morning. Not just you be able to quote the scripture, but God wants to break that chain. What other things does it do to us? What about your emotional state, your mind, your soul? It impairs your reasoning. You become hyper-focused on immediate threat. You have the inability to think. You get overwhelmed. It can morph into other things like anger, frustration, helplessness, shame, and sadness. Emotional numbers and mood swings. I mean, not numbers, numbness, sorry. I write fast and I write sloppy. Prolonged, though, listen, you become to a point where you're susceptible to exaggerated fear responses. Paranoia? Even when there's no danger present, you're afraid. You're just afraid. You're afraid to live life. You have difficulty in managing pain and triggers. You will isolate yourself. And then the mental health risk, where there's depression, phobias, and severe psychological trauma, it'll affect your relationships. I'm not saying it's the only one, but you can almost take every sin back to what? Fear. Fear. It says it can morph into anger, right? You ever been around somebody who has a fear of being disrespected? Easily triggered to anger because that puff up like a snake kind of, and you ready to shoot your venom or you're ready to put up dukes, whatever you choose, you're trying to manipulate to show that you are in control. You're the one in power, but deep down it's an insecurity because you don't want to be disrespected. Because somewhere along your development in life and living, somebody disrespected you and you made a decision one day that you'll never ever let somebody do that to you. Same thing if you date a lot, have been broken relationships, all of a sudden you have trust issues. Why? Because you have a fear of getting hurt again. So you're going to go into that survival mode that came in with the fall and you're going to protect yourself at all costs. So when somebody does come and tries to love you, you keep them at arm's length. Because you know what's at stake. You want them to love you, but if they leave, you just can't take it. So you produce strongholds in your thinking in order to protect yourself. Because with Adam, self-preservation, I need to cover my shame and go hide from the Holy One. And we live like this daily. Personal testimony. I'm just telling on myself. I have one psychologist called foreboding joy. And here's my self-sabotage thinking. When things go well, I look for where's the undercut. Oh, I'm not alone. I get so, forgive me, my emotions get high. Because I'm so happy, so full of joy, I wait for where's the persecution? Where is the underlining thing that's going to cause this to come back down to reality? It's the fear. I'm a parent. When my son laid there, there was such a joy in my heart that I had a son, and I felt love like you understand what I'm saying? And I looked upon this boy. It's like the blessing. Lord, make his face to shine on you. And I look at that boy and I'm so overthrilled. But you know what we do? We feel that. So now we got to become overprotective because we're afraid if something ever happens to this bundle of joy, I'll never be able to live with myself. Immediately we start the fear in our mind trying to protect our children. And I'm not saying there's not healthy aspects to that. That boy's made in the image of God. He is God's boy. He's my responsibility to raise. And I'm sure he's loving it right now. I'm just pointing at him. So I'm not looking over there. Come on, am I right or wrong? And you live with these daily fears, and here's the problem. You accept it as normal. And here's the thing. If there was no Christ, I would get it. But the one who bled and died and rose again for you said that you are free and free indeed. We don't have to live like this is what I'm saying. We don't. I know this. You can walk out of here and you can fight the good fight of faith. You can hear my words and be too intimidated by the fear and stay the same shape you are right now as you leave. But even most importantly, let's go to Numbers chapter 13. Let's look at what fear does to us spiritually. I'm looking at the time. Your 3 o'clock appointment should be safe. You'll get in. The restaurants will be clear. Everybody else will be gone. You get the leftovers. You'll be thankful because in all things, give thanks. Even if it's cold. Setting it up now. Here we have the exodus of the Israelites, right? Moses is leading them. They're getting to the pinnacle here. So he does what? Listen, I want to tell you. Who did he send? He just picked 12 out of the bunch? No, he sent the leaders. He sent the leaders of each tribe out to go spy the land. We're going to pick it up in Numbers 13. I ain't got time so you can get to lunch to go back. So I'm giving you the... God says you're going to go to a place called what? Where it's what? Flowing with what? So God's best has already been spoken. His word has been established on this moment. He picked up, rose up a guy to say, hey, my people are in slavery. Let's take them out. Let's take them to a place that's far better than anything they could ask or... think. Imagine. And they just went right along. Yeah, God, let's go. No, they went the whole way complaining. Why? Because they're afraid. But then Moses says, all right, let's send these people out, okay? Let's pick it up, all right? Verse 26, and I'm going to go a little bit. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us. It flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Now, what just happened here? Their eyes saw what God had already spoken. Because faith is the conviction of things not seen. so he could be trusted in this moment because he had already said that the land was good. And this is what it is. And they go over there. Now their eyes connect with what God had said. Now you would think, after seeing all that God had done, bringing them out of Egypt, that they would be roaring and ready to go. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb, here come. Remember it says in Proverbs that wisdom shouts from the streets. He quieted them down before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to go up against these people, for they are stronger than we. And they gave the children of Israel a what? Bad report for the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. And so we were in their sight. Chapter 14, verse 1. So all the congregation lift up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel, what? I challenged Wednesday night as I try to go 1 week without complaining. Complained against Moses and Aaron, and the whole congregation said to them, if only we had died in the land of Egypt. What were they in Egypt? And if only we had died in the wilderness, where did they die? In the wilderness. Why has the Lord brought us to a land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should become victims? Would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? Let's just say back to our former life, the slavery. So they said to one another, let us select a leader and return to Egypt. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of, Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation. Again, wisdom crying. The faith is shouting, saying, the land we possess, though to spy out, is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. So this is why you can't just have inspirational preaching. Because this is inspiring. What's the next thing they want to do? And the congregation said to stone them with stones. Fear morphs into anger. Fear impairs your rational thinking. So I got an idea. I'm afraid, so let's shut them up and let's make an example of them that if anybody tries to stand up and say we need to take it, you're dead too. That's what they did. Do you understand why they won't go back to slavery? Because they can manage that. They learn coping skills. Even in their abuse and chaos, they felt a little bit of a norm. And that's where some homes are today. It's more normal for the fighting. It's more normal for all the complaining and the belly aching. It's more normal to live in chaos than it is to live at peace. You accept it. Why? Survival mode. You have learned how to survive. And if you come out of that, it becomes an unknown. And when it becomes an unknown, your little mind freaks out about it. And it's like, hey, I like this, but then you're like me. Is this going to be different tomorrow? What's the catch? Is things going to change next week? Will Dad be in a good mood tomorrow? Will Mom wake up in a good mood today? That was kind of nice, but I've got to guard myself with fear in order for me to manage my day, because I can't keep taking this hurt over and over and over. And that's what they were doing. And they were willing to go as far as murdering. Because there had been no justification for what they'd done. We may not be in that situation, but that's how we live today. We can raise our hands on Sunday and be lower on my Monday. Why? Because you're afraid. Something is driving you to do so. Pride gets involved. Look, anything outside of God, there is no peace. Try to find your own way, young people. There will never be peace. Never. You'll have to try to manage yourself the rest of your life. Call things normal, which are not biblical. And I say these things, guys, because I want you to come out. He's our land. He's our possession now. We came from slavery to death. And pain and sin. And he brought us to a place of land of milk and honey, which is his presence. But you stay shackled to things that have no business even being in your life anymore. And then we go around complaining so we can grab a few other people to give us empathy so we could stay right where we're at. Listen, we walk in fear instead of faith. When we do it, we're like Adam. We hide from his presence. That's at risk. Because in the presence of him is fullness of joy. The joy of the Lord is your... That's why you're weak. Are you afraid? You know about you, but I felt a call into the ministry early, but I was afraid. God's going to call me to a place I didn't want to go to. So when I said, God, I surrender all, I really didn't mean it. I made me a missionary to go to the Cardinals and or my favorite sports teams. Do something that I want to do, God. Don't send me on the backside. Everybody was afraid to go to Africa back then. Do you understand how fear determines? Fear makes you miss God's best. It does. You can live your whole life shackled and bound if you want. You can. You could taste the goodness and see how free you really are. You know why? Because this is what I've learned. I learned that we're way too comfortable and found it way too normal and way too good at living broken. And God wants you to learn what it means to live whole. What is sozo? Salvation. To be made whole. So anything that is not wholeness is substandard. Let's not call it normal humanity living. Let's speak wholeness into people. He came to give us life and that much more, abundance of life. We should be marked by the joy that's coming out of us, by the love, the peace, and all of that. But we're afraid. How can they draw from your well? And don't receive that with condemnation. Fix it. But how can they receive from your well if you're acting just like them? I look for people that challenge me. Because I want to know what else. You understand what I mean? When they broke the mile, were they with 5-minute mile? Then 4? Thank you. Then everybody started breaking the 4-minute mile. I had to have 2 wheels or 4 wheels for me to do that. But them with their tennis shoes did it. I'd have to have something very vicious chasing me too. I still may just lay there and give up. But they broke a barrier. Why don't we break the barrier for the people that we influence and show them that you can live a righteous, holy, peace-living, joy that's unexplainable life, even when the circumstances are dire. So you too can see the hope that's inside of me, and they begin to ask questions. I would be messed up right now. Well, let me just tell you why I'm not right now. Because I didn't give that spirit. I don't have that spirit. It's foreign to me. God put a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind in me. And every day I get to reap from the benefit of knowing that I am His and He'll never leave me nor forsake me. And He's changed me. He's transformed me. He's changed my thinking. And He could do it for you too as well if you got a second to talk about it. So they see us up and down, up and down, up and down, dealing with our own fears, our own junk, our own messes, our own chaos. And I'm not saying don't deal with it, but I'm saying deal with it. It may be in you, but let's get it out of you. That's what a family should do. All right, I'm going to give you 4 takeaways today. I'm sure you can come up with more. Guys, I don't want you to fail the mission. I don't. And I hope you're hearing. I hope you're hearing God speak to you today. First point is this: you got to take captive your thoughts. It's elementary, and you hear it all the time, but you got to do it. You absolutely have to do it, because you get lazy in your thoughts, your actions are going to follow. I got to be careful here. I love the community. I love the community of believers we have here, and I love that we come together and worship and sharpen each other, and we're supposed to stir each other up for good works and for love. So when you walk out of here, we're supposed to shine like light and be salt into this earth. That is the MO that I believe that it should be. But sometimes we can usher in here like cattle sometimes and just be mindless in what we're doing and not connect with God and let our thoughts just go haywire and think about what you're doing when you leave here and all this stuff and miss the connection that God wants to have with you and wants you to have with each other. And then we end up just meeting to meet and say we did church. I don't want that. I want God to break chains, save souls, and set hearts on fire when He comes in here. But we will let our mind be numb and just walk in here. Hey, who else is worthy? That's the only time you're going to hear me. Well, I can't believe I just did that. I just overcame a fear right there. You just heard that, right? If you guys need some extra help, all right, I'll move on. I said, all right, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, just to read it again to you, just keep it in front of your eyes. For we walk in the flesh, but we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not carnal. You don't beat spiritual problems in the flesh. It's just not going to work. You're going to be overwhelmed and overcome, but you're the overcomer. But mighty in God for pulling down what? We talked, somebody prayed earlier that strongholds would come down. Strongholds are those fortified places in your mind that's trying to protect you. That's the reason why I can't speak to you on it, because you've already justified your behavior. You already rationalized it to keep you safe. Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So when you have that thought, immediately it should go through the Word. It should filter through the Word. It should filter through the life of Jesus. It should not go to your opinions, your thoughts, and what you think you should do. You should not lean on your understanding. It should go through the Word of God. Do we understand that? That's what this means. We are taking stimulus all the time. You have things right now. You understand what I'm saying? Your eye could catch this. Some of you are really, really like, your attention span is like a bottle rocket, right? It's like, you know, it's like squirrel, you know, like Eric says, right? But Eric does say squirrel. Eric will look out there. If I see a turkey, though, I may look, all right? But still, you get what I'm saying? Our mind is taking all this in. So how do you take it? I looked it up. The mind, it acts upon, right, our survival, anything that emotionally charges us, and then repeated thoughts. So today, if you're connecting with God and you're connected, you're locked in because God is speaking to you, not Ray. The Spirit is speaking to you. You know you're afraid. You know this is tackling you. You know this is consuming you. God is now putting conviction in your heart. You got to do something with it. And you got two choices. Because if you shelve it, that's disobedience. I've done it. We're not throwing stones this morning. We're saying, come up and be free. But if you don't, your mind will run wild. And people that do this, they're very knee-jerk. They're very emotionally charged. They see red when they get angry. You gotta kill it. That's the old you. That's not the new you. You have to take captive your thoughts. Number two, you got to pray and give thanks. And again, I'm sorry. I'm not going to apologize because it's Word. It's Word. Eric read it. Be anxious for nothing. You know that Greek word for anxious means to be pulled apart? When we walk in fear, we're being pulled away from what God has spoken. Your mind divides between what you rationalize and think from your understanding and opinions that you should do based on your experiences versus what God has spoken. And you can't receive wisdom. What does it say in James? Because it goes back and forth. Should I do what I want? Should I do what he wants? Should I do what I want? How can you receive anything from God? Let him not receive anything from the Lord. Because God may be speaking to you today to do something, and it causes you to have a reaction of fear. Is that going to speak, or is the exalted Word of God going to reign? The reason I say you got to pray and give thanks, because you talked about that in one of our Wednesday nights. If you have a thought, and you see it's wrong or whatever it is, stop and pray. Don't act on it. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, earnestly say, God, I'm dependent on you in this situation and your word. I'm not going to war in my mind if it's right or wrong. I'm just going to do what you say, or I'm going to continue to walk in fear. You got to pray. And then it says what? Giving what? Thanks. They're finding out, guys, that the same part of your brain that produces anxious thoughts, God is so brilliant, is the same part of your brain. When you live in gratitude, if you choose to live in gratitude, the anxiety goes away. So something hard and difficult is standing before you. God, I think you chose me for this moment. You got to start believing this stuff, guys. I'm not the head. I mean, I'm not the tail, I'm the head. God, you said you would go before me. You're in me. You're with me. And humbly, God, I speak that you are greater than anything outside in this world, because greater is he that is in me than he that is out here. And then you wake up, or you continue to talk. You continue to pray, I mean. God, you're for me. You're not against me. I just thank you that you woke me up today. Amen. I got food in the fridge. I got a house above me. I got a bed that I just slept on. Do you know some people are praying for those things? Yes. Do you realize that some of you are living somebody else's dream? That's right. So why don't you just give thanks that you're in the situation that you are and pray for them that God will give them the same. If you're married in a solid marriage, you know people are praying for that. If you got a good job and somebody's unemployed, they're praying for that. So instead of fussing about what you're doing, why don't you start thanking God that you have it? And then all of a sudden now those anxiety thoughts begin to fade. But why do we not? We stay in the anxiety. We get to ruminate and worry. And then we produce this deep down stress inside of us that is a fear trying to make its way out. Now your heart, palms, sweaty. Don't start quoting the Eminem song. Don't do it. More of you know about it than not, huh? I didn't know if I should say that or not. I'm just saying don't go, because... Do you realize, this is what they say, I'm not smart enough, 85 to 92% of the things that you worry about never happen. And yet you're going to give your time to something that's not reality. That's what fear does. Creates a mirage in your mindful desert to make you think something is real when it's not. Tell on myself, sorry son, bad day to come. Great day to come for me. Might be bad. You might think it's bad. I don't know. I'm just messing. Okay. I never let him drive because I wanted to be in control of the steering wheel, right? Why? Because experience taught me that he about hurt me before. He's a good driver. He wanted to go to Knoxville on his own. I don't know about you, but we got this thing called Life 360. So I battled fear across one time zone, watching his speed. Of course, we had to make a phone call on that. But still, why? He came back, and I had all that anxious thoughts in me, all those anxious thoughts. Worried for nothing, for nothing. Eric's right. I battle. I have anxious thoughts about preaching. Because I want to be clear. I want to, you know what I'm saying? I don't want to say something that would ever mislead you or take you down a wrong path. I want to love you through my words and what I'm doing right now. That's my main prayer. Not to be seen or heard to build anything. I just want you free. But I go through this, and I'm like, Ray, this is not a show. You understand what I'm saying? I gotta talk to myself and give thanks for this opportunity and stay there instead of staying in the anxiety that it could produce. Because there is a fear of what? Public speaking, and a lot of people don't like to do it. I go around right now and watch you, let you see the spirit of fear in operation when I hand you a mic. True? I won't do that to you though. All right, let's keep going. Number three, you got to change the narrative. You got to change the narrative that's going on in your head. And this is also in Philippians. Let me read it from here. It says, finally, brethren, let me go back and read this. Hold on, I'm sorry, go back. Verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the what? Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. Israelites got a what? Bad report. If there is any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Change your thoughts. The things that you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. Now, I don't want to read too much into things, but one thing that I noticed reading this passage several years ago, at the beginning when he says, give thanks, he says, the peace of God. Then when he says, meditate on these things, he says, the God of peace. Why? Because when we begin to think about the things of God, and it's praiseworthy, and it's trustworthy, and it's of a good report, we create this presence of God and by invitation, because he is with us now. Because he's going to love on you and everything, but he doesn't understand your anxious thoughts. He doesn't live like that. You have to change the narrative. You have to. I said a while ago, your brain will fixate. It will create a strong neural. I'm a little bit of a geek about this stuff, right? Your neurons will start firing. You can hardwire your brain. This is why I love it. Not because it's just fascinating God's creation, because he said, set your mind on things above. He says, be transformed by the what? Renewing. There's a miracle going on inside of your brain as your brain begins to fire up, as you read the word and believe it. God is rewiring your thoughts, so that is your new thought pattern, because you're a new creation in him. These kids, it was just exciting listening to their testimonies they gave a couple Wednesday nights ago. What happened to some of them? They went there, encountered God, and God renewed their thinking, because the things that they were doing was producing death, and God was pushing them to life, and they said, yes, Lord, and they came back free. It's the changing of your narrative. It's the changing of your thought. Again, I said the brain will activate on your repeated thought patterns. So flip the script. If you're anxious, be thankful. You got to read the word, talk the word, speak. You understand what I'm saying? Be consumed with the word. Then all of a sudden your brain catches up. And guess what? It's a new way of thinking. It's a holy way of thinking. It's a free way of thinking. Because now you're not afraid of man anymore. Because you're out here witnessing now. You're not failing the mission. You're completing the mission, and you're running your race. And that leads me to the last one. Let me hope Nike doesn't reach out to me, but just do it. Do you like that move, babe? Just do it. Some of you are running from God's call. So we talk all day. You might be in your word, you might be worshiping, doing all that, but God's calling you to something else. God may be calling you to restore a relationship. And you're afraid because you don't know what the conversation will be. You're too afraid of the unknown, so you don't make the call. You're protecting self again. Some of you need to make the call today. Hey, I blew it. Will you forgive me? And that freaks people out. That's why they don't do it. Or they're still bitter and holding pride. And guess what? We can fear not enough justice, so we stay in unforgiveness. You got to do the word. James says, don't just be hearers of it. You can come in here and hear it all day, but it doesn't change you until you do it. You can quote it all day. If you don't believe it, you're going to stay the same. Look, what is needed for trust? Love and truth. 1 John 4, God is love. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth. Can we trust him? Could the Israelites trust him? But because 10 people came back with a bad report, they wasn't going to do it. They wasn't going to do it. Just take us back with the cucumbers and the leeks and the onions. Let them keep beating us in the hot sun. I would rather do that, God, than take the hill. It's estimated that 1.5 to 3 million people died in the wilderness. Because the majority of the spies came back and said, we're afraid. How many people in the body of Christ never reached that point of freedom because they're afraid? How many missed destinies are there because people are afraid? How many broken relationships do we need because we're afraid? How many souls live broken because we're afraid? He says it throughout the word, fear not. Fear not. Do not be afraid. And everything in your life, there's a promise that's yes and amen attached to it. And you still live afraid. Stand with me. If you will. All I want you to do, I'm not having an altar call, but this is what I'd love for you to do. Take an honest look at yourself right now and say, is fear driving me in any capacity of your life? You may be doing what God calls you to do, but you're still afraid of this, this, and this. You may be in your word, worshiping and doing these disciplines, but yet you still have not said yes, Lord, to what he's calling you to do. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what you're dealing with. I just know that fear should not be part of the equation. He came to set us free. If you're a worrier, you need to change that narrative. You take that thought, arrest it, captivate it to the obedience of Christ and say, this no longer will have dominion over me. Fear is a liar. Fear is a tyrant. Fear will rule over you. Fear will trap you. And fear will cause you to live a life of sin. And that's not what he's called you to be. And that's not what he's called you to do. So if you will, just bow your heart, bow your heads, your hearts. Let me pray over you. If you need any special ministry or prayer, please pull me to the side or any of the so many anointed people in the room. pull somebody aside and say, look, I need deeper, not deeper prayer, but I just need prayer. I need some help. But if not, will you agree with me today? Father, we stand before you, God. Kind of at a crossroads, Lord. Are we going to be afraid or are we going to be in faith? God, that whatever you've spoken to each individual heart and where they're at, Lord. God, that I pray that we'll choose faith and freedom. God, we just thank you so much that your son came to set us free and to save that which was lost. We thank you today, God, that we don't have to walk in fear, Lord. We thank you today that we don't have to walk, Lord God, in bondage. So I pray, God, Lord, of the breaking of the chain of fear over each person here today. Whether they deal with it on occasion or whether they deal with it on the daily, Lord God, I pray that, God, that you would remove every anxious thought, that, God, I pray you replace the thought, Lord God, Lord, that they are free, Lord, in their mind. And they will live from that place, Lord God, a place of wholeness, Lord, not brokenness. Father, move mightily, not just in their lives, but the lives of their family, Lord. Let them see the freedom and the life in which they live, Lord, that they would crave what they want, God. Father, let the world see that we are a free people, Lord, that we are not given in to fear. That we believe the report of the Lord, that when he says go, we go. When he says stay, we stay. That we're not moved by a fear emotion, Lord God, but we are only led by the Spirit of heaven. The Spirit of you, God, Lord. Just move us deeper into the waters, Lord, of surrender, Lord. God, that we just let go and claim our dependence only on you, God. God, we know you'll go before us. We know that you have our best interest in your heart. We know, Father, Lord, God, that you will never leave us nor forsake us. We know, God, Lord, that we are more than conquerors and that we are overcomers and that we are the victors. We know that the battle is yours, God, and the battle has always already been won. So, Father, I pray that those words not just be some anthems, God, that we shout, Lord, but the life from which we live, Father, that those around us can see, Lord, the light that is inside of us, that fear doesn't cause us to put a bushel around us, Lord God. Father, Lord, I just pray for each person and family, God. I just speak your blessing upon them. I speak life upon them. And not just life, Lord, but life abundantly. Lord, may they walk, Lord God, in a way that is worthy of their calling, humbly before their God, sharing the good news that what he has done in us, he can do in you. So, Father, we just give you the thanks and praise for it all. Thank you, God, for intersecting our lives and ordering our steps for this moment. May, Lord God, there be fruit that lasts, God. Father, we just give you the praise and glory for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Brother Dale.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.